wanna be my friend, you had better go and get a pen. And maybe we can keep in touch, like we did in the old days, it wasn't so long ago.
Gonna scare the kids. You're gonna scare the kids. You keep doing that noise.
Look, it's not every day you get a chance to harmonize with a professional singer.
I'm not professional. I mean, I got paid one time to sing.
Ladies and gentlemen, we say this every time. You're on your Spotify.
So you looked.
You're on your iTunes.
If we could keep it a secret, we would, but
there's
we can't.
No sitting here going, oh, and then we're going to bring out our guest. You've already clicked on his name to know that he's
right.
here.
Or we promoted it on social media.
That's
right.
And heavily.
Yes.
And very heavily.
Mm-hmm.
Numerous videos yeah. we haven't told him we need him to commit to promote this episode.
Sign the waiver.
Signing the waiver. Ladies and gentlemen, we're joined today by the very lovely, yep. the very outstanding mm-hmm. Friend of mine since the year 2013, wow. Skylar Aston is here today.
Glad to have you here, Skylar.
Welcome, Pens. Welcome, Pals.
Welcome, there you Pens go. And Pals. See, you already get
you already
it.
Get
I get
it.
The lingo.
And that's the show. You guys, thanks for being here.
That's right. Theme song and a little opening banter.
We only go until the guest gets it.
Do you want to do the theme song again? Were you starting to feel something there?
I was trying to.
Let's do one
if
more.
If you want to okay. be my friend, you'd okay. better go and get a pen.
Okay.
Maybe we can keep in touch like they did in the old days.
Okay.
I have a question. Hold on. Before we do, I have a question.
You guys both the have pause? Tablets in front of you. You couldn't pull it up.
And we're having to read it to our own song. Professional Broadway star.
I am not.
When someone throws, when he goes, those are the words. Are you quickly like, I got it?
I can get
because
it.
Because of that? Because you're like, that's what I did. That's how
that's
what
how
I was
it used
doing.
To be. Yeah. But like also, give me the first line.
If you want to
be my
friend.
If you want to be my friend.
You better go and get a pen.
Better go and get a pen.
And just for our listeners, that's Daniel doing that. That's
right.
not
yeah,
Skylar.
Yeah, yeah. yeah.
No, Skylar, you do it.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, now you okay. do it. Okay. If you want to be my friend.
Very good.
Then you.
That is my voice.
Then you better get a pen.
Here we go. Ready?
Okay, ready?
We're on a little podcast.
Oh, good. And take
gonna
it.
Gonna listen
take
to
it.
The end.
And go.
If you want to be my friend, you had better go and get a pen.
And maybe
we can keep in touch like we did in the old days. It wasn't so long ago.
Pretty damn good.
You're listening to Daniel and Skylar with very special guest Rory Scovel.
Who just started smoking before this intro.
I just finished a pack of cigs and came up here to do the podcast.
You ever notice people who talk like that always constantly have to tell other people they're fine?
I'm fine. But no one asked. No one even asked if they're okay.
No.
I'm fine. The doctor said.
I didn't even ask about the doctor.
I don't need that oxygen. I'm fine. I just bring it with me.
Right.
That's what happened when I worked with Nick Nolte for 2 years. He was just constantly telling people
right.
he was while sounding like he was eating glass every single day.
I'm fine.
And
not just eating glass, aggressively swallowing glass
The gargle, and a healthy gargle.
I swear to God I'm okay. This oxygen's for the altitude, not for life. I wish every day he was like, you know, on Blue Chips, what we would do.
Sure.
Like, no one cares about Blue Chips.
What are you tides?
I've actually heard every story of every movie he's ever
really?
Done twice.
Unprovoked, he just
unprovoked.
Goes into it.
Yeah. Well, but in a good way, actually.
Oh,
he's
sure.
in a very old prospectory version of his life. So,
yeah.
And the stories are outrageous.
Yeah.
It's like on Blue Chips, after filming, we went to a Chinese village and they asked us to mate with the women. And I'm like, oh my God, is that really true? And it was.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm fine.
We had to. Yeah.
We
had
to. On the set of The Warrior, me and Tom Hardy beat the shit out of the director.
Yeah. for no reason at all.
We actually liked him.
He challenged us.
Should we just go straight there? We got Skylar here.
Well, can I remind everybody where to send us stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, I will. Ready? Care of the Pen Pals Podcast. Take it, Skylar.
You could send it to 5419 Hollywood Boulevard, Suite 121, Suite C, number 121, in Los Angeles, L.A., California, 90027. A great zip code, one I've frequented before.
And I want to be very clear, that it insults me that Skylar has memorized the address, and I still don't know it.
I told it to him when he walked in. I was like, you'll need this later. He's like, I got it.
You sort of sang it to him, and he's like, I got it. As soon as it's in a tune, he's got it.
That's exactly right.
I got the address.
Also, email us, thepenpalspod@gmail.com. Believe it or not, it really helps us out if you just rate, review, and subscribe. Sometimes we read those reviews on air, even if they're mean.
Yeah.
That's how we found out we're two cackling idiots.
Someone goes, I don't know how people listen to these two cackling idiots. And we're like, I don't know.
Cackling?
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's what it should be merch.
Yeah.
Two cackling idiots.
Do you want to go?
Let's go to the letters.
I let you run it solo. I missed it.
Did that make you think of the Chicago Bulls at all?
A little bit. I was also like, wow, that pre-record is amazing.
I did it for a month. I was in ADR for a month to get that guttural.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Hi, Pen Pals. Have you ever thought about the term weird? What does it actually mean? While this may seem like a strange thing to think about, this is something my friends and I have talked at length about. We had always been called weird by others, but then we started to think about it, and we would consider the people that called us weird, weird as well. This would imply that weird is not as straightforward as one might think, but instead, it's a relative term. This would then make the term normal relative as well, because while the people in your close circle may seem normal, with everyone seeming weird, the reverse could also be true, i.e., everyone else thinking they're normal and you're weird. Society seems to want one definition of normal and weird, but based on this, how can you truly define them? What are your thoughts on this? Thanks, James.
I gotta say, I love it when the letters are broad.
Sure.
And they're just to the point.
We get all kinds.
I want to stress, if you're emailing us novel length questions, it's hard to get through that letter and still have time to talk about it.
Right.
This James was like, I got this.
Right.
The fuck does weird mean?
Yeah. Also, in this day and age, I feel like let's get weird is like a thing, right? It's like a let's have fun. Let's do something out of the ordinary.
Right.
But let me ask you guys, and I will answer as well. Do you consider yourself weird?
Great question.
Like, are you like, yeah, I'm weird? Or are there areas in your life, like, am I a weird eater? Am I a weird sleeper? Do I have a weird aesthetic in my house?
I think it's interesting because the things that I like and I'm into, I can understand that some, like, I'm obsessed with golf. I watch golf all the time. And I might tell someone
that's weird.
And some people go, that's weird. I'm like, I get it. But it could not be more normal to me just satisfying who's ever in charge of this thing.
Right.
I'm just like, oh, you want me to watch golf? Yeah, great. I'd love to do that.
But like outside of like a pre-planned, like, hey, let's watch an old episode of Quantum Leap tonight. You could put Golf Channel on all the time.
Yes.
And be interested in whatever's on there. You could also come in and out of the room. But that's like a fish aquarium to you.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So somebody could also go, oh, that's weird that you always could watch golf all the time.
Yeah.
But I think
a great question is wondering if you are weird, because I think sometimes there's those things that you have that are very vulnerable secrets that you think, like things that you
make
do
you weird.
That you think are strange and weird that you don't want someone to know about. And you're like, well, because I'm weird, but it's not. It's actually probably more relatable than most things.
Right.
Like, you know what I mean?
Don't you think
your attachments to other people?
Speak to this. Mm-hmm. Do you think though, also when we're kids, the idea of being passionate about something gets super easily exchanged for weird?
Yeah, because a lot of people don't really have like a specific direction. I mean, it tends to come a little bit later, or else you're told like you go to college and then you major and then you figure it out. Whereas like if you're 8 years old and you're super into theater and you know that's what you want to do, some kids that aren't into that are like, that's weird. So I always find weird has like a negative connotation. And even when you're being self-deprecating about yourself, like in your case, you're being like, this is weird and I do this. And then other people will be like, no, actually I do that too, which is fairly relatable. So I always feel like the people calling it weird, whether it's yourself or other people, are actually wrong, which makes it that thing that they're saying about what is normal and what is actually like the spectrum there between normal and weird.
Yeah.
Because so it's actually the kind of opposite.
Did you start at 8? Was 8 when you started getting into theater?
I started liking theater a lot when I was 8.
Yeah. Do you remember the first thing?
Jekyll and Hyde.
Really?
Jekyll and Hyde. I just turned into both of you guys. Well, that's the first one that I saw where I was like, I appreciated and understood what acting was. Because I saw Joseph in The Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat, and that was very colorful and exciting. Yes. And then when I saw Jekyll and Hyde, there's this moment, the confrontation, where he's going back and forth from Jekyll to Hyde, back to Jekyll. And it was a great Hanukkah gift, so I had great seats. And I was really, like, super close to this guy transforming in front of my very eyes. And I was just blown away that one person was doing that.
What that was.
I understood at 8 or 9 that that was, like, happening.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that I necessarily wanted to do it, because I didn't start doing theater till I was like 13 or 14. But at that point, I knew I loved going to theater and seeing performances.
Yeah. And when, like, early on getting on stage, were you like, oh, I'm capable of this? You know, like that, not the stage fright kind of thing, but like, because with stand up, there's this world of like, oh, I want to do stand up.
Right.
And there's nothing you can do but walk squarely into the moving train that's coming at you.
No,
and you just
option.
Have to go, either I'm still standing or I'm not.
Right.
And you just have to do it. But almost every stand up comic I know didn't necessarily have a problem with it because they were already in a zone of, like, we call it attention craving. And I think that's a negative name for just having the confidence to fail openly and go, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But being like, I don't mind if people watch this. I would like it because I think I have something to offer. Did you, like, when you started, were you like, oh, I can do this. I'm not worried about it.
I was very, like, fearful. You know, because it was very foreign to me, but I also knew that there was like a purpose and a reason why I was doing it. So I kept like kind of blindly putting one foot in front of the other until I actually got to the performance, because it was all like, what's it going to be like when there's actually people here?
Yeah.
And that's when I really understood the relationship. And that's when I totally got bitten by the bug and my life did a total 180.
Yeah.
Because my first director actually did this interesting thing. I opened the play with a monologue and he had this concept.
And he told you not to.
Yeah. I wanted to do the curtain speech, and I was like, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. He's like, someone else does that.
Skyler, that's not for you. that's not for you.
Yeah. Get into your costume. I'm begging you.
Close those flip phones. Yeah. You should already have popcorn.
And if you want to unwrap any candies, do it now. Cacophony of butterscotch candies opening up. So it was actually a moment where he wanted me probably to get out of my head. Now I realize in hindsight, but I was dressed as the janitor of the theater, and the set wasn't really up yet. It was just a ghost light, and I walk in, I'm supposed to be like brooming out the theater, and then I notice, oh my gosh, there's a full theater. And then throughout the first monologue, my character kind of comes through this janitor, and I like unzip my thing throughout, and then by the end of the monologue, I'm in character.
Sure. Yeah.
And it was an interesting concept for a youth theater,
yeah.
But I wonder if it was like he was doing it for me, the young actor, to get out of his head and to like look at my Aunt Bonnie and then see this stranger from my community and then look up to the balcony and see
a people
and be like, oh my God, I'm in character. Because it was a very life-affirming, life-changing moment for me when I was totally bitten by the bug, understood the relationship.
Sort of a weird, like, first step out into it, sort of doing a Jekyll and Hyde.
Yeah, 100%.
Kind of like, that's so
crazy. It also reminds me of Waiting for Guffman with the guy. He's like, oh, didn't see you sneak up there.
I know.
I love it.
It is a very hacky thing to do now.
But you're a kid. Yeah, this is
I was playing Jesus in Godspell, so some would say Jekyll and Hyde, some would say Janitor Jesus.
Janitor Jesus. There it is.
Janitor Jesus, CBS as well.
I think what's so great about that, and going back to like that, what is normal, what is weird, like, you're right, there is someone who would go, oh you like doing that, like, they're almost saying, there's sort of an admittance that they're like, I'm too scared to do that. They're almost like saying, oh, you like doing that, not in the negative way, but like, how is it possible that you like doing this thing that would only terrify me? And I think it's what blurs that line of normal, because probably that night, and I would say all the time since, what you do and what we do as stand-ups could not feel more normal to the DNA that is in our bodies, where we go, no, to actually to not be on stage and be at a party talking to people, I feel like a deer in headlights. But if I'm on stage and you say, hey, be a clown for an hour, I'm like, oh, that's a piece of cake. I can talk for an hour. You got it.
And I literally, as you were saying that, was thinking to myself, like, am what I thinking that I do, is that weird? Because for me, weirdness is about context, right?
Yeah.
So guy in a suit on a subway train, not weird at all. Guy in a full suit walking into the ocean, very weird. Attire, completely the same.
No, very cool photo shoot. I think very cool photo shoot, honestly.
That's your album.
Yeah, yeah.
That's your album. But I think it's all about, like, context, right?
Yeah.
So I was even thinking, as you were saying that, like, when I think about myself sitting in an audience to watch a stand-up show, that feels very weird to me. But then I'm like, am I weird for feeling uncomfortable sitting in the audience? Most comics, if they go see stand-up, they're going to stand in the farthest back corner.
Yeah.
Even though there could be plenty of seats.
Yeah.
Because they're like, well, I'm a stand-up. No pun intended, but they're like, I would feel weird if I was in the audience.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And so it's just about, like, context of where you are. Did you guys remember a movie called Angus?
Yeah.
Yeah, Angus Bethune.
Remember the end when he talks about what is normal and he's, like, yelling at everybody on the football field? He's like, what even is normal? And he's talking about, like, all these expectations of people and stuff like that. Weirdness only comes about when you step outside of whatever the context for the expected situation. And sometimes that context can be bad. We need someone to be weird here. But sometimes it's just your way of being different, which even in high school, like, sometimes the theater kids are thought of as weird, or like the athlete who won't, like, carries a basketball with him everywhere he goes. But, like, that kid's weird. But he's doing what is even a more high school terms, broad strokes, like, accepted behavior of being in sports rather than being in, like, some sort of fringe group. But even in that context, that kid can end up being weird.
I think, yeah,
it's just about your passion.
I think
level.
Age blurs it. I think maturity and age blurs those terms.
Yeah, like, what would it take for any of us at this age to think someone's weird?
I don't know. I mean, I think they start to just become inaccurate descriptions.
Absolutely.
Of a thing.
It's low-hanging fruit, because weird comes with so much judgment, so there's so many ways to reframe what that is. It's passionate, it's different,
right.
It's you know, even quirky or eccentric.
Yeah.
But, like, weird just, like, goes really, like, I think it's almost, dare I say, lowbrow.
I think so. Because for me, like... When guys would do, like, Dungeons and Dragons.
Sure, considered which, weird kids
which,
in high school.
What comes into your, at least for me, it came into my, like, understanding of what that was in this negative way, because in television shows or movies, it would always be this thing where it's like, they're virgins and they don't, like,
they're weird.
They're like weird kids who like doing this game because they're beta and they're weak. Like, that's what you're taught is, like, a thing.
Right, don't be but weird.
I remember thinking about it. And, like, being like, yeah, that is weird. And now that I've, like, gotten older, you come to those terms where you go, oh, it's not weird. That's what they were into. I liked playing sports.
Yeah.
So when I thought it was weird, I thought it was weird just because I didn't want to do it. Mm-hmm. Whereas now you get older and you go, yeah, let people just do what they're going to do. It's not weird. Who gives a shit?
Right.
Are you happy doing it? Then great. Like, that's what you should mature into.
I think sometimes there's a laziness of, like, let's say someone is constantly trying to offend, or, like, it's a formal event, and so they showed up in, like, a swimsuit and a hoodie, right? And rather than saying, maybe more accurately, like we were saying, passionate is more accurate, rather than saying, oh, that person tends to be inappropriate, rather than weird. Yeah. It's not that they're weird. They just kind of...
Yeah, actually, weird is letting them off the hook.
Right.
Okay. Very much in so. That case,
right.
That person's half exposed.
Yeah. Incredible speedo, though. Good build. Yeah. Great build.
Weird guy. You mean inappropriate?
Yeah.
The other thing, too, before we get out of here, I think it also tends to get, like, weird... tends to get brought up a lot in a sexual context, mm-hmm. of, like, people being like, well, that's weird. I don't want to do that. That's weird. But then you'll also find people who, like, you even used it in this term of, like, let's get weird, where they're like, if it's a very safe, consenting sexual environment, it could be like, I kind of want to get weird with you. And the person's like, let's do it. Let's get weird. And so you can invite that sort of, like, non-normal. And even in the context of sex, we kind of all know the traditional normal expected acts or behavior.
Just mom and pop missionaries. Yep. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. But then when somebody was like, can I see your foot for a second? They were like, I think I kind of want to get weird. And that person goes, sure. That's when you're like, oh, then maybe it isn't weird. I mean, maybe we're weird. And you are stepping outside of something with another person. But I think that weirdness comes up a lot in sexual context for people. And
yeah,
can I ask you guys a weird question?
It might be
a normal question.
What?
Sexually, I've thought about this a lot. Things that now seem very, like, rote as part of like normal sexual behavior. Do you ever think like, man, 40, 50 years ago, that was super weird?
Yes.
That people weren't doing that, but now it's like very casual. I guess you see this most often in nudes, right? Mm-hmm. Like you go back like 20 years, people, or 30 years of people Polaroid pictures with nudes and stuff. It was like, what? Who, yeah. Someone have a nude of a person, or you took nude photos of yourself? Right. And now it's like, my brother's much younger than me, and I remember him telling me like, yeah, it's basically how people flirt. It's not even like, it's not weird anymore. Right.
Yeah.
It's just, I kind of, it just becomes context, right? Does it fit within the context of expected behavior?
Yeah. I think it's expected behavior and context because to me, not that I think it's weird, it's just, that's
casual
New
Friday. What am I? I'm not even thinking about that.
It's just so out of my realm of like, send a nude picture to someone. I'm like, I think I missed it. I think I missed that,
but
that moment in time.
But I think even in relationships.
Yeah.
People who are in marriages or committed relationships.
Especially long distance.
Yes. Are like sending each other photos, whereas 25 years ago,
well,
you weren't taking a photo and then mailing it to the person.
Right. Yeah.
And maybe even in, I would even say like late aughts, like 2008, 2011, it wasn't nearly as prevalent or as it is now. Even in anything, but also in relationships where people are like, well, I miss you, so I sent you like a sexy photo.
Yeah. Right.
But it's just become normal.
Mm-hmm. The evolution of weird. We've evolved past it being weird.
Then you wonder, does the needle keep getting pushed in some ways, whether it's sexuality or things like that, where you're like, well, weird just keeps, the line just keeps getting moved farther and farther.
I think it always gets moved. I think the thing for me is like, does weird keep getting moved, or do we just become a people that's just more expressive about all of these things that are just who we are and how we've always been?
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
and accepting of it.
There are like homophobic people who do think like, well, there's more gay people now. You know, people that live in a world of thinking it's choice. There's more gay people now. It's like, nothing has changed.
No.
It's always been the exact amount of who anyone is in terms of what they identify as. It's always been there.
Right.
There's just now slowly becoming a more expressive freedom to go, actually, this is who I am at my core. It's just, that's just how it is. And some people being like, oh, I think you're, well, you seem odd. It's like, but if you actually knew all of the people that did maybe specifically identify a
like
certain
me.
Way, odd would not be the word, or weird would not be the word. Majority might be the word.
Sure.
Because it's so many more people than you would assume who identify or associate with a thing that at some point in history was called weird or like not okay, that people were like very against. I think it does blur. And I think it, in many ways, it's a sign of some sense of progress for people to go, yeah, people just are what they are. The only thing you have to, does it hurt anybody or them?
Right.
And you just leave it at that. You're like, no, it doesn't hurt anybody or them. You go, great, well, then that's just people being people.
Yeah,
what were you gonna say? It was never weird in the first place. So
exactly.
It's like, yeah, it's less weird to think that way. Well, maybe it never was weird. That's just what you were labeling it.
Yeah. To have some description of what you're not.
Because weird is other.
Yeah.
So that's why even going back to the email, like, is normal weird? Is we consider ourselves normal, but maybe other people consider ourselves weird. Yes, because you're the other in that instance.
Right.
Yeah. It's always so funny when someone said, oh, I'm the weirdest person. I watch so much Netflix. And you're like, what?
right.
Also, think about it. Like
that's not even...
in terms of pop culture, right? If you go back 20 years, how many kids were like... could be considered fringe by the like comic book superhero stuff shirts that they wear. And now it's like, do you think any kid wearing a superhero shirt at any level of school is considered weird?
Yeah.
No. It's become so mainstream. That it's like, well, I guess it's not weird anymore to love Iron Man.
I have a
joke. Who wasn't even like a top tier character when that movie came out.
I have a joke in my act where I go,
we get angry
have you
about
listened
that?
To old Marilyn Manson recently? Just to listen to it. And some people are like, oh, yeah, sure. And you go, so do you remember at the time people would say, this is Satan? Does that not sound so ridiculous now? You look back.
You said it about Elvis.
Hey, the fact that Elvis shook his hips, that's the devil. Looking back, does that make any sense to you at all?
Right.
Like, doesn't that seem insane?
Right.
Like, that the devil's that
cool?
And
also, if that grandparent or parent is still alive, is still alive and used to call Elvis the devil with his hips, do they seem to care anymore?
Yeah. Right.
No, I
or
bet
hated
you they,
the Beatles for being, like, famous?
I bet they listen to it. They listen to Elvis. Like, oh, I wish people are making, like they do with Elvis. But like, you said Elvis was hell. Well, hell, the line for hell's been moved.
It moved. Yeah. It moved.
Time heals all.
It
Time
was Metallica for a minute.
I don't want to skip that.
Wait, what do you say?
Time heals weird.
Time heals all.
Time heals weird.
There you go. Hashtag time put heals that weird. On your shirt. Oh, make I that love the it. New slogan.
Two cackling idiots. Time heals weird.
That's great. James, thanks so much for sending this letter in. What is weird? I think it is just the other, and sometimes you're the other and you're the weird.
And you're the normal. Right. You're probably always
also,
the normal.
Also, I love what you said.
And
too.
Always
the weird. It's also kind of low hanging fruit. It's just kind of like,
yeah.
Do you mean passionate? You mean inappropriate? Maybe not weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Depend on context. It's right. All context.
But that guy's hat, usually weird. Yeah. If you're ever in a place, you're like, look at this guy's hat. It's a weird hat.
That's great. That's the only that's one the that's only acceptable.
Right. What is weird? Well, hats.
Hats can be pretty goofy.
Hats and occasionally scarves. The right kind of scarf could be very
weird. An unnecessary
weird.
Scarf. That's right.
Right.
Back in the day, maybe a brooch.
Don't let Rosemary Van Kirk hear you say that. All right. Thanks so much, James. We wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Daniel Van Kirk,
Rory Scovel,
and Skylar Aston.
And we're back. Why didn't you do it, Skylar?
I don't know. I was really in the audience for that
one. Weird. That was weird, dude.
If you are just joining us, I don't know why you would do that. You're streaming this in some sort of platform.
Like, I got time for one letter.
I got time for one letter. I'm going to fast forward halfway through and just see where they're at, and I'm not going to see who the guest is. Yeah. But sure. If
they seem to warm up by the second.
Yeah.
That is
us. If you are just jumping in, Skylar Aston is with us today, and we hope you enjoyed those ads. We got just a few plugs. If you haven't seen Physical Season 1 on Apple TV Plus, I say it every Wednesday, go and watch it. That's all I got.
December
18th, if you're in LA, live show at Largo doing some stand-up. Daniel's going to be there.
So much
if you want to come out and see a show, and maybe we'll try to talk Skylar into coming out and opening the show by singing the theme song to the podcast. Yeah.
But only as Genie in the Bottle.
Yes. I'm not going to
lie. We have the costume.
I'm not going to lie. I would be willing to open that show if you came out as the janitor and you did the monologue.
I am so happy to do that. I just am sweeping. My Hello name there. Is known, God and King alike. Like, what?
I am Bonnie.
And everyone is like, Bonnie. And everyone going, wait, is that Skylar Aston? Yeah. Wait, is this the show? What is the show?
Wait, actually, is Skylar Aston the janitor at Largo?
Does he work at, what does the ticket say?
Yeah.
Bring up the ticket.
Ticket says ticket. comedy weird.
Oh, ticket says just so monologue good. By Skylar Aston for 1 hour.
Damn it.
Oh, it'd be worth it.
What do you guys got? What do you got?
All that stuff's at DanielVanKirk.com. You've heard me talk about it this December. We have small group games bingo, which we raise money for no-kill animal shelters, big brothers, big sisters, and food banks in your area when you win. Plus, you can also win cash and prizes as well. It's just a good hang. All that stuff, like I said, is at DanielVanKirk.com. And my stand-up dates should be coming back in March. We'll pick up the tour when everybody settles down. And I think that's it, right?
That's right. Skylar's got something today.
I have a movie today coming out December 1st called Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas. It is the movie version of a TV show I did for 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. All of them are available on Roku, so you can catch up on Roku the first 2 seasons. And then we have a fun little Christmas spinoff that's movie that kind of wraps up the series, kind of leaves it open even for maybe more movies. But it's just a really fun holiday movie. I'm really proud of it. And I get to bring the Judaism into Christmas.
Thank
my character,
God.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Thank God.
Yeah, I sing. thank Mordechai. I sing Hanukkah, oh Hanukkah.
You do?
Yeah, I do. With a mouthful of peanuts. It's a fun time.
Oh, that's religiously, you have to do it that way. You have to have a mouthful of peanuts and then sing it. That's what I learned.
That is the story of Hanukkah. The Maccabees and a mouthful of peanuts.
That's the Maccabees, yes. And that's the oil, and that's how they kept it lit. Which is an amazing story that I only recently learned.
Is really? It an amazing
the history
story
of Hanukkah?
Or is it boring?
It is. If
and
if,
a reach.
If someone goes, without a doubt, that is exactly what happened, I go, that is pretty crazy.
It's miraculous, yeah, exactly. One would say.
Yes. Well, I guess it's all on miracles, but that's amazing. Check that out. Skylar Aston today that Zoe's, what is it?
Zoe's Extraordinary Christmas.
Christmas awesome. Is out today. And and if you haven't seen that show, check it out. Yeah. Skylar singing and dancing beautifully. And I don't know if it's accessible. Skylar and I first met on a show, Ground Floor on TBS. We did 2 seasons. Mm-hmm. And it really could have gone more. It was so fun. It was the easiest job.
The best gig ever.
It was like the first real acting thing I feel like I was doing, unaware that this is the greatest schedule you can ever have a TV show. I didn't know.
Of all gigs.
Yeah.
And only in hindsight have we even appreciated even more so. I mean, I talk to Renee and Briga all the time. Like, could we try that over?
No joke, trying it over. I feel like it could be people like, we know the show now. We see it. 10 years later.
Ground Floor Christmas special?
Ground Floor Christmas.
Ground Christmas.
And you do the same song, Peanuts in Your Mouth. Yeah. It's like, this seems forced. I've seen him do this. I've seen him do this before.
But they should throw that up on HBO Max or something, because it was Warner Brothers. I don't know. Ted Lasso creator, Bill Lawrence. Yeah. Scrubs creator, Bill Lawrence. Yeah. Same guy.
Let's get to
go for it.
Anxiety and social interactions. Folks, it's going to be a funny one. Here we go. Greetings, Raniel and Dory. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I don't.
I like it that it starts with an R.
I mean, most of the first words, right? But
no,
Raniel.
But R. The R is mine.
Fair enough.
And that's my name, and I'm important.
Right.
I love you both equally in no specific order, but we do get that R first. And am a penny that's working to be a pallor. Dan, I've been a longtime listener of DPT and adore your brand of comedy. Rory, I'm sad that Dad's the podcast isn't returning, but I'm happy that I have pen pals to be able to enjoy your infectious cackling together. I hope to be able to see a live show once we feel safe to do so again, if you guys will be near Maryland. I'm not a Baltimore fan. Here we go. It feels weird typing out this email, even in a time where content creators are so easy to contact and often a DM away, especially stand-ups.
Mm-hmm.
I've dealt with anxiety for a good portion of my life, and it has often left me feeling like an introvert because I'm afraid of speaking first or being loud and noticed. It took me so long to seek therapy for what eventually turned into depression as an adult because I would want to meet new people or make adult friends, but would get physically ill from my stomach twisting in knots from the anxiety of speaking up. I am happy to say that I have a wonderful support system in my family, husband of 11 years, 6 years married, 2 wonderful kids, and a very small handful of close friends, and a kind, open-minded therapist of 2 years. After digging into therapy and admitting that I needed some help from regular medication, I can now interact with new people without feeling physically ill. I still have a lot of leftover introverted tendencies that are making a barrier to me being able to open up to people more. Example, my oldest daughter is now in school for the first time, and I want to be able to interact with the parents of her friends without automatically outcasting myself or feeling weird at the bus stop. I'm finally getting to my question here. This is a lengthy one. They really go at it. I like that. I'm finally getting to my question here. Do you fellows have any advice for someone trying to step out of their introverted shell to do things like make new adult friends or be able to talk to other parents or coworkers? I guess I'm basically asking, how do I F2F, that's face-to-face? I still have a bit of a quiet personality, but I love to be where the fun and laughter is. COVID has been hard on us, and I'm still nervous to invite just anyone into our house or go out to a bar. And as a working parent, I don't often have the money or time. Of course, I would appreciate just hearing you wonderful people read my letter on the podcast, let alone actually answer my letter. I love how thoughtful and kind you both are, and I wish you well. All the best, your pen pal, Amanda. P.S. I usually only type out emails for work, so it took so much time. It took so much in me not to make this sound neutral and professional. My preferred way to talk to people is by being goofy and making bad dad jokes. Well, you have messaged the right people. You are communicating with your crew.
For
now.
Sure.
Thank you, Amanda. I love this. This is great.
I would also say she answered her own question.
I think there was
Be goofy. Make bad dad jokes. You'll make friends. And you don't want people that don't like that stuff.
You know, this is what I often think. I often think about when people are trying to meet someone, I'm always, and I know this maybe sounds so stupid, maybe it's logical.
Sure.
But if someone's like, I'm trying to meet someone, I want to date or I want to meet whoever, and it's like, well, what are you into? Like, well, I love bowling. And it's like, well, who bowl? They go to a bowling alley. Like, right. I know that maybe, is that dumb?
No.
Like, I like doing improv, and I like hanging out with an improv group and drinking beer after
Worked
an improv
well
show.
You.
I married that person who also was like, I like doing those things. I'm like, oh, great. Well, then we probably have a lot in common doing this thing that we both really, really like. I feel like there's that in any social interaction, not just someone you're trying to like meet to be with, but just go, well, where is my crew? I can personally tell you, I've been in green rooms full of bad dad jokes, and they're intentional and they're fun and they're awesome. Because of my job, I'm already lumped in with many similar like vibe people.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I feel like that's, if it was like, how do I break this? I think it's kind of finding your crew. And I think you find your crew, and I'm not saying this is easy, but saying those bad dad jokes and being goofy and knowing that some people, not to reference the first letter, might find it weird. But the people who find it normal, you're going to go, oh, that's my crew. Because you know that you understand why I'm this way.
Do you think, like specifically in this one, do you think it's harder, though, the more into adulthood that you are to make new friends?
Well, also when you're talking about like the bus stop and things like that, because those are kind of forced interactions,
sure.
the mingling small and the small talk yeah. with other parents
yeah.
who totally might not be in the same line of work, have the same sense of humor, have the same yes. weird things about them.
Yes.
So that is actually not a struggle, but that can be difficult, I imagine, because yeah, I'd say in general, like you're saying, being yourself and finding your people works, but then how do you then get out of your comfort zone without feeling like you're trying to adapt to someone else's personality?
Yeah, maybe it's environmental, I guess. That's a good point. Like if you're at the bus stop and you're trying to do it, well, now you're not at the bowling alley where
right.
you go, this is my space. Mm-hmm. you're at a bus stop where you're having to do the small talk stuff where you're, even for me, who's an outgoing person, the small talk stuff, you just say something and then you're like, why did I even say that?
Right. And then how do I get out?
Because it's often
out of
never
this?
You.
Right.
Like when I start talking about the weather, I'm like, this, I don't even care. What am I saying?
But
I'm
don't
just
you,
filling space.
Don't you wish you could sound like, hey, who gives a fuck about the weather, right?
Some people do that.
Yeah.
And I'm always so like
relieved?
Blown away. I'm blown away.
Yeah.
They're like, oh,
but
not just small talk.
But
and you're like, you're right.
But then
don't.
Yeah. But then my thing
I
is like,
I hate this.
Yeah.
Me too.
But then I don't like that. I don't like
right.
when it becomes a negative party.
Right.
So I'm, because that's always easy to be like, oh, this restaurant sucks, huh?
Right.
And like, but then my thing is if somebody's like, hey, let's not talk about the weather. Then my response is, what do you want to talk about? Because then tell me, like, do you have
like,
a good relationship
my
with
time
your parents?
Share. I want to talk about my
I
time
would
share.
Love it. I would love to know how you got it. I would love to know where you were at. Did they trick you? Was it one of those things where you were like, well, we get to stay here for free. We just have to sit through that. I would run with a timeshare conversation for an hour.
Yes.
So, Amanda, really, you want to tap into your timeshare.
Here's where you want to really press the gas.
Now, Orlando's good because you could trade other families
yeah,
that want
that's
to go
right.
to
yeah.
Disney World.
That's yes. right. That's right.
Yeah. And you'll get that Aruba trip, Amanda.
Let's not
right,
discount Adventure Island.
Guy has no idea how this works.
Hi, I have a timeshare and I was just listening. That's not how it works and that's not a good market.
How would you make friends in your neighborhood at the bus stop? Do a lot of people use their kids and a play day as an excuse to meet those parents and then make new friends? That's probably a good play, right?
Here's the one thing. Yes. Yes. You're for us with a kid, we've met so many parents because of the kid.
Right.
And then you go, oh, I hope I hit it off with these parents. If the kids really hit it off, you're like, God, I hope their parents are chill. I hope they think we're chill.
Right.
Because
yeah.
there could be a lot of time together because
sure.
the kids are like hanging out. I got to say the bus stop is an uncomfortable space, but I do understand if you have an oldest kid who's just now getting into school for the first time, you definitely want to have a line of communication with the other parents because you want constant feedback about how they feel things are going
mm-hmm.
at school. For instance, like, you know, you now have basically put your child in the care of someone who's going to educate them, and it's one of the most important things that could possibly happen in their life. You do want to hear from the other parents, like, are you guys happy? We're all happy? Anything crazy? Like, do we think anything
right.
is out of the ordinary for what we want the kids to be doing? You want to have a line of communication. I think the best way to do it, and it's really not the small talk, and strangely, that context, it's not necessarily being goofy or bad dad jokes. It's almost like wanting to establish a line of communication. I think, ironically, I think it comes with a lot of listening. I think there's a lot of people, myself included, who don't do a ton of listening, but when I do remember, like, just shut up and fucking listen
mm-hmm.
to what this person's saying, I then realize, oh, I'm learning a lot, and I'm not in my head going, when do I talk again? What should I say?
Yeah.
Because I don't want to say that. The social anxiety part goes away.
Yeah.
But you go, oh, I just have to listen. And whatever they're going to say, that's going to dictate what I'm going to say
yeah.
anyways. So I don't have the pressure of going, I got to keep this beach ball in the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no, it's filled with helium. You're good.
Yeah, take a back seat.
Yeah.
At
yeah.
the bus stop.
Do you think also you could do, because when you were saying that, I think
that's Skylar's next album. It's
Backseat at the bus stop.
Backseat at the bus stop.
I think
only on Deezer.
I think that, like, is it odd to suggest that
if you're worried about what you would say to someone, and it's like coming off of what you just said, Rory,
yeah,
is maybe just try to get good at asking interesting questions. So then you are allowing that. It isn't on you.
Yeah.
And we should also say, anytime we wade into any sort of talk of like therapy or depression or anything, we are not professionals. Skylar, is it? Yes.
Professional singer, but
that's
yeah.
Right. That's yes. Right. But, so, but is a professional, and that can qualify for many things.
1,000%. Yeah, yeah. Dentistry,
doctor,
therapy.
Yes.
I have so many practices.
I pulled teeth and hit high notes at the same time.
And they loved it.
Mm-hmm.
They looked past the pain of
little
the teeth.
Top of horrors, you could do that.
That's right.
So I would say that, like, I wonder if there is, like, I know this sounds so form over function,
functional
over form, but like having like, oh, at the bus stop, I'm going to ask someone like one of these three questions, because the thing that rung out for me for this when you read it is, I'd get physically ill on my stomach, twisting in knots from anxiety of speaking up. And I would say, this is why I have to big time highlight, I am not a professional mental health worker.
Go for it.
It's about lowering the stakes of what horribly could happen here. The worst case scenario is somebody was like, no, don't think so. Have a good day. And they kind of,
and you feel bad.
And you feel, you feel bad for hopefully an hour or two. And I can't speak to whatever, how long someone else feels bad about anything. But like, if you could just lower the stakes for yourself of like what needs to come from this, a lot of times it'll go way easier. Like, we've probably all run into this where you'll talk to someone in our industry before you know who that person is.
Mm-hmm.
And that conversation you had without knowing who they were was so
better.
Easy.
Was the best.
Yeah. Yes.
And mostly appreciated by them.
Oh, right.
Wow, good, a normal conversation.
We've all been in the other position where you can feel the angle.
Yeah.
Like, you can feel what the person's kind of gunning for here. I remember I was at a party once, and it was at a very, very big famous person's house. And there was someone who I did not know, but I wanted to just go up to, and it would have only come off as mean, but I would have meant it in a sincere way of like, stop auditioning. Like, just stop. Stop. It's okay. Because you think like, oh, I'm showing how I'm life at the party. Right. And maybe they also had their own social anxiety where they couldn't stop themselves.
Sure.
I've been in that too, where I was like, I'll like leave a party and go, shut the fuck up.
I know. I do it after every podcast. I go, why do I talk at all?
Your mic's off a lot.
Just
let Daniel talk.
But like, where I just wanted to go, buddy, just stop.
Right.
He's not going to put you in the next movie. Or maybe he will, but it won't be because of this.
Totally.
And then when you do see them in the next movie, you're like, is that really how it fucking
works?
I'm not lively enough at the party.
That's the worst. You're like, I should have joined in.
It's funny that like in this line of work, people from like in my family or back home that I'll sometimes like talk about like meeting a famous person or seeing a famous person. They're like, well, what does that feel like? Meeting or seeing a famous person. I was like, you know, at a certain point, it was crazy.
Right.
Because you start living in a world where the people you've only seen on the silver screen are now in front of you, and they now register as real.
Yeah.
And you can hear each other, you're talking.
Yeah.
And it does make things sort of strange at the beginning. But being in this business long enough, you might still feel like, oh, that's crazy that this person, I can't believe I'm meeting so-and-so, especially when they inspire you, because that's sort of a different element of it.
I think I still get like that with athletes a little bit.
Oh,
because I can't do what they do at all. So I am like, how do you do what you do?
But I think you very quickly in this business, you start to learn that, oh, this isn't fun for anybody if all I do is sit here and go, you're so-and-so in my brain.
Right, right.
But if I actually just go, well, what if this is someone who's like, we're just two people in line at 7-Eleven chatting while the register's getting fixed. If you put it in that context, you find yourself going, yeah, there's no weight in this. We're just talking. Like, you probably can't believe you're you. I can't believe that I'm me, that I got to be here with you.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this is a crazy moment. But if that's what we exist in, then this isn't a meaningful conversation.
Like, remove those mistakes. Remove those stakes, like we were saying. Like, talking to a person that somebody comes up to you and goes, do you know who that was? And then you're like, oh, fuck, what did I say? But you probably didn't say anything. You probably just had a good, normal conversation with you, Rory, where, like, they also thoroughly enjoyed.
Yes.
Because there was no angle.
Yes.
There was none of that. I remember when I met Robin Williams, I was at Counterpoint next to UCB, the record store.
Oh, I love this story.
And so he's in front of me. He's buying some records for himself and his daughter. And the person who's, he's second in line, I'm third. The person who's first in line, whatever could go wrong in terms of them buying whatever
speedily
they...
Speedily getting out of the way.
Was just not happening. Like, yeah. They were like, oh, you have to have American money? And then, like, like it was that level of, like, well, now the cash register doesn't work. Like, it was, like, one thing after another. Right. And then the person was like, well, what if I don't want this anymore? And they're like, well, I rang it up. Like, it was all that.
Yes.
And Robin Williams turns to me and he goes... I think he knew he was doing the show next door.
Yeah.
He's like, I think we might have to do the show here. And I was performing at UCB, so I didn't know if he had been dropping in around that time.
Yeah.
And so then I go, I don't know, the lighting is horrible. And then we were two people talking about this thing. Whereas right. If somebody had been like, and Daniel, here's Robin Williams, I'd have been like, hey.
Hi, man. You.
Yes. But we just got to be like, oh, we're just two people being very inconvenienced by how long this is taking.
Yes.
And in that context, you're like, then it's good. But to go back to the letter, the stakes were low.
Yeah.
There was nobody being like, hey, we're going to put you in this room. You got to go make friends with Robin Williams, at least for all the time you're in there. I'd be like, let me go throw up first.
Yeah.
But it was more of a like, well, there was no stakes to that. And yeah. I think if there is any person who does know about mental health and how to go through anxiety and stuff like that, if that's something, I would encourage it to be like, just assess what the stakes are or tell yourself there's none here.
Like, what's the worst that could really actually happen?
What's the worst?
You die.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know when you die, you shit a little bit? That happens
that's
at a party.
That happens before
that
you
happens
die.
That happens at a party and the yeah. girl you have a crush on is there. That's what yeah. the worst.
You bring everything.
But why
back
would you care?
Your
you're
crush.
Dead. So why would you care? You're not. You're no longer involved.
And you're a ghost. And then yeah. you have to see that
as you're drifting up. You're like, ah,
stop.
Fuck. And that's the closest to Larry David any of us will ever get.
That's right.
That moment.
Yeah, I think it's always just like you do this. If people, did you leave it in the final cut of your documentary?
What?
Fun. Be fun. You
yeah.
left it in?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
That's this. Before Rory goes on stage, it was so funny when I saw an early cut because I do the same thing. I go, this is a good time. You're a good time. We're going to have a good time. I do that for so many shows just to like reset.
Yeah.
And Rory, before he was just like, you're fun. Be fun. This is fun. Whatever. I can't remember
your
mantras.
Yeah.
And I was like,
love that.
It's about for two guys who it's very easy to get anxiety before a show. I'd be like, man, I hope this new shit works. You were about to do a completely made up show. So a lot of nerves.
Yeah.
But like, it's about just bringing the stakes down of like, no, we're just going to have a good time.
Yeah.
We're just going to have a good time.
I don't know much about certain levels of social anxiety. I think everybody to some degree has it, like in some
sure.
ways
yes,
that everybody and to some degree experiences depression, whether it's manageable or not. But like, I think it's a present mental state for
yeah.
a lot of people more yeah. so than we talk about. And I think social anxiety is also there. And I know that we're saying we're not professionals and, you know, I think there's various levels.
Care.
I think if there's any advice I could possibly give towards some kind of relief of it outside of just lowering the stakes is not looking ahead to what the next thing is. Like when you're talking to someone, not going, and then what should I ask?
Mm-hmm.
And then what should I say? Figuring out how to eliminate those things, be present. And it's not easy to develop a confidence. Like for instance, right now, as who we are, if we were going to a party tonight and you were going to be off to the side alone,
I would get very anxious.
You would become anxious. And there's a part of that anxiety, at least speaking for me personally, there's a part of the anxiety where I would go, oh, do I look like someone who's not even talking to people?
Right.
And then
now
my brain would go, no one even cares.
Right.
No one's looking over here and even caring. And only then do I go, what kind of food do they have? And then I'm like, why can't I just, am I not fun enough for me?
And then you look over,
right?
And you look over and you see other people in great conversations.
Yeah.
And you're like, how do I get
and making
one of those?
Out? And they're just making out.
And it's everyone your crush. Out.
And it's your crush.
So at the bus stop, what we think you should do is just make out with
You've
the other
parents. You've got to start kissing. But you
think,
have to.
I think it's interesting. My dad always used to say, like, let the game come to you sometimes as far as like
it's
sports
great.
Go.
Yeah.
And I feel like that is okay if you set the standard that there can be a lull in the conversation and that you can, you know, go up. I mean, everyone, the safety blanket these days is shit, looking on your phone and scrolling
sure,
or something.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, but even if it's like, you know, doing something with your kid or something, and then you return back to the conversation so that you don't have to feel like it's a constant fastball.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to be just chucking them in every single time so that when there is that unnatural pause, it's like, oh my God, yeah. Now what do we do?
Yeah.
So again, I think that's closer probably to like lowering the stakes, but also just like, yeah, being comfortable in the, being on the receiving end of it too.
Game five, the Braves lost. That slide, Altuve into second to make it 9-5. He was out, right?
I didn't see
he
it.
He was out.
But see, Rory just started out. A little because
they're both cheaters.
But as soon as you there said you bring go. The game to you, and I was just like, God. And then I thought about that Altuve call. And I was like,
the last thing I'll say on this. In fact, oh, go ahead.
Go to the bus stop. And only always talk about the Altuve slide in a second.
Houston, huh? Remember they cheated real bad?
Houston. So why not assume they're still doing that?
And if they're not, it looks like they didn't need to. Why do it?
Yeah.
The last thing I'll say, and you gave me this with what you just said, Skylar, is it's going to feel so awkward. I do it a lot, but it's a muscle you have to use. Feel free to give yourself outs.
Mm.
No one, it will feel awkward, but no one will ever have a problem with you going like, I'm going to step out really quick, but it was great talking to you. Or like, I have to step out really quick, but I hope we get to talk more.
It's always a great move. I admire that when people do it. I'm like, good for them.
Because some people make the mistake and be like, I'm going to get a drink. You want one? And then that person goes, yeah. And now you're like, I got to fucking come back here with this drink.
Right.
And now I'm a bartender.
Or they go, I'm going to use the restroom. And they don't want to use the restroom. And they're like, I have to go walk into the restroom for a while. So for me, I just, I'm going to step out really quick. But I hope we get to talk more.
Yeah.
Every person's like, me too. Even if they don't mean it.
Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. Just and it is a muscle. But the more you use it, you'll realize there's no stakes in that.
Yeah.
But even me hypothetically saying to you, I can feel my spine ting a little bit at like, hey, it was great talking to you, but I'm going to step out really quick. It feels so fucking weird for you to say.
I love it.
I'm going to step out really quick.
I'm going to get out of here.
You're crying. Oh, I saw my crush.
But I guess there's solace in knowing that like that most people are similar. Like most people want a way to bail after a certain amount of time.
Oh, I think so. Yes. I think everyone feels the nature of a conversation. Like when it's happening, when it's not. I listened to Smartless a bit, and Sean Hayes was telling a story about being at a party with Steven Spielberg, and he was like, and we were hitting it up. We were talking about so many things. He goes, great conversation, having drinks. It was awesome. He goes, I got to leave. We do a big goodbye, long goodbye.
Uh-huh.
I get down. I go to get the valet for the car. It's taking so long.
Uh-uh. I hate a double goodbye.
Steven Spielberg comes tough. Down to get his car. And as soon as he sees him, Sean goes, I so don't know what to say that I just go, how are you? And he goes, he was like, it immediately ruined like
all of it. All the equity.
The moment he told the story, even retelling it now, someone else's experience, my hands are becoming sweaty because of how much I can relate to a version of that.
Yeah,
where you just start over with someone, you're like, I didn't even, why am I asking you?
Are you
hungry?
Why
don't I continue a joke?
Why
did I ask him if he was hungry?
Do you like the night?
Did you like the waiting, eh?
Why am I a Canadian now? I hate the double goodbye. There are a few things worse than the double. The other one I like is like, it was so good to see you. Like outside of somebody's house, you've left this. Yeah, you too. You do your big hugs. We should totally. No, we will. And then you realize you're walking the same direction to your car.
Yeah.
You're like, so I always go before the rest. I'm like, well, which way are you guys going? You going our way? As everybody who might low-key be learning on me, I try to take control of situations. But I'll be like, which way are you guys going? They're like, oh, we're up this way. Oh, us too. We'll say goodbye when we're up there. Because I'm pre-thinking about the like, if we say goodbye and we are walking the same way, then you're kind of walking for a while. Don't be talking because you already did it.
Yeah.
Now, Amanda, if you're listening to this being like, well, then they just gave such great advice and now they're talking about terrifying situations. Maybe there's solace in knowing that even people that seem comfortable in their own skin all
Skylar.
Have that same relatable feeling.
See, he let the game come to him.
I almost wonder, and I'll close on this, and this is just a shot in the dark.
Do it.
I wonder if even saying... Yeah, you know, it's so great meeting you guys. I have a little bit of social anxiety, so to get
to...
You might quickly hear that person go, thank God, I am the same exact way. And now, it's gone.
Gone.
And you're like, great, we're on the same page.
Yep. I love that.
I just throwing that out there.
Feel free to be vulnerable.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. I got to say, Amanda, this is a great letter. We hope that we were helping some way, but maybe you got to crack up at some of our ridiculous ideas, or maybe they're helpful. Who knows? But either way, we wish you well. Sincerely, your pen pals, Rory Scovel,
Daniel Van Kirk,
and Skylar Astin.